With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You actually prevent war when you're strong. You start wars when you're weak. They smell blood in the water. Don't think for a second those images of Putin and Xi standing there holding hands that they didn't want the entire world to see this.
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. Man, are we ever honored today to have a very special guest, a repeat guest on the Chicks on the Right show. This is former South Carolina governor, former UN ambassador, current candidate for the president of the United States, and honorary Chick on the Right since 2016. Nikki Haley, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be back with you and have some girlfriend time. I love it.
I mean, so
that's
excited.
Exactly right. We're so, so happy to have you. And so we thought we would just kind of launch first with matters of the election, which is, of course, you're running for president. That's a huge, huge deal. There's now three of you officially in the race so far. The field could get wider, of course, for the GOP primary. And we, Daisy and I have heard you in several interviews. I know there's a lot of people that have huge interest in wanting you to address Trump specifically, but it's not just about Trump right now. It's about you, Trump, Vivek, other people who may get into the race. And your line so far has been to say, I don't kick sideways. I kick forward. My target is Joe Biden. And we get it. Like, he's obviously the big target. But how, in the primary, like on the debate stage, how will you start to differentiate between the other candidates without relying on what other people are now accusing you of doing, which is relying on identity politics, age, gender, you know, ethnicity, whatever. So how will you differentiate when you get on that debate stage?
Well, first of all, I think it's easy to say that, look, I'm a two-term governor that took on a double-digit unemployment state and turned it into an economic powerhouse. I was at the UN. I didn't deal with one country. I dealt with 193, and I took the kick me sign off of my back. I mean, off of the US's back. So you look at that. No one else has both of those things where they've been an executive and they also have foreign policy experience. But we've already seen this play out. Keep in mind, everybody was like, well, how are you going to be different? When you're out of the gate, you don't want to just kick sideways. You want to look at the game at hand. But since just the 1 month that I've announced, you're starting to see the differences, right? So, you know, you see that all of a sudden, you know, Donald Trump says he doesn't want to touch entitlements and Ron DeSantis copies him on that. You see that Donald Trump says we shouldn't have anything to do with Ukraine and you see Ron DeSantis copies him on that. You know, I have said Social Security runs out in 10 years. Medicare runs out in five. You can't say you're not going to talk about entitlement reform. That's not being realistic. But what you do is instead of touching people who've had money promised to them, you don't touch them like my parents in their 80s. But with my kids in their 20s, you go to them and you say the game is changing for you. And you raise the retirement age for them. You make cost of living more associated with inflation. You make sure that you cut benefits for the wealthy. You expand Medicare Advantage. You know, when it comes to Ukraine, I have been very adamant about this. This is bigger than Ukraine. This is about a war for freedom. Don't think for a second those images of Putin and Xi standing there holding hands that they didn't want the entire world to see this. And they just caught Xi saying on a hot mic that we are changing things for the first time in 100 years and we're doing it together. They are in this. That is the new axis of evil. Iran is their junior partner. And when we look at this, it's a war we have to win. Because if Ukraine wins, it sends a message to China and Taiwan. It sends a message to Iran that's trying to build a bomb. It sends a message to North Korea. If we lose, you can bet that Russia's going to go into Poland and the Baltics, and then we're looking at a world war. And that doesn't mean you put money on the ground. I don't believe in giving money to Ukraine. I don't believe in putting troops on the ground. I'm the wife of a combat veteran. What I do think is we work with our allies and we give them the ammunition and the equipment that they need to win and finish the job.
I think a lot of people agree with you on that. Like, and there are a lot of conservatives that do. And our listenership is conservative, but a lot of them are concerned about the financial part of this. Like, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of feedback about that, a lot of pushback. And then, you know, when you start doing the debates, you're probably going to hear a lot of feedback about that. So I'd like to hear your stance on the paying for the pensions. That's the one thing that we hear, like, because we read our comments every day because we do a daily podcast. And so a lot of the people that we talk to on a daily basis are really agitated about the pensions, like our money, our hard earned money is going to, you know, to the spending of pensions of almost 10 million people in Ukraine. So
we should not be doing that.
Yeah.
We absolutely should not be doing that. You should never give money to a country, period, because you can't follow it. When you go and you give equipment and ammunition, we can actually see where it's going. We can make sure that the training is appropriate and that it's used effectively. You know, when I was at the United Nations, right after we made the move from, you know, our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and we were condemned by the entire world. When I issued that first veto, and we went in front of the whole General Assembly, 128 countries voted against us. And I was so upset because we have the ability to put our embassy wherever we want. No one can tell us where we can and can't. And so I went to my office and I told my staff, I said, I want you to put a book together. I want you to list all 193 countries. I want the second column to be the percentage of times they vote with the U.S. and against the U.S. And I want the third column to be how much foreign aid we give them. I took that book and I gave it to President Trump. He lost his mind. He's flipping pages. He's yelling out countries. And I said, what I'm telling you is I'm not saying you give foreign aid based on a percentage of vote at the UN, but that should be one of the things we look at.
Right.
Quit trying to buy friends. Quit trying to pay off enemies. Stop giving money to countries that hate America. Last year, we gave $46 billion in foreign aid. Do you know who we gave it to? We gave it to Pakistan, who used to try and harbor terrorists that would kill our soldiers. We gave it to Iraq, that now has Iran infiltration that's saying death to America. We gave it to Zimbabwe, which is the most anti-American African country there is. We gave it to Belarus, who's helping Russia defeat Ukraine. We gave it to Cuba, that is a state that we named a state sponsor of terrorism. And yes, we are giving money to China. That is ludicrous.
Right.
You don't do that. Quit giving money to countries that hate America.
I love this. Yeah. I feel like Nikki's using Genucel. Do you think Nikki's using Genucel? I feel like she is.
It's either like amazing jeans or it's Genucel.
Could be a combination of both because she looks good, girl.
I know she does. She looks really good. And if she's using Genucel, then she probably knows all about the fact that if you go to Genucel.com/chicks, you can save over 70% off of their most popular package. Plus, if you get a subscription, which you should because you're going to love the skincare that much, you're going to want it routinely. Every subscription includes a luxury gift box with two free springtime essentials, two free gifts plus free shipping. This is just for a limited time.
Wow.
So you definitely want to go to genucel.com/chicks. That's genucel.com/chicks. My personal favorite, Ultra Retinol.
Really? Is that
it? I love it.
I do. I use that every single night. And then I also use XV cream every single night. I use them both every night. It's like the duo, the slam dunk duo every night.
Well, you look good.
Well, thanks. You look good. Nikki, you and I look good.
Genucel.com/chicks. How do you deal? So it's a great answer on the financial perspective. And I think most of our audience would agree with you. Stop writing the blank checks.
Right.
Because you can't follow the money. You can't figure out what it's being spent on. And that also goes to the whole, this idea that a lot of people have, I think correctly, that there's so much corruption in the Ukrainian government. And so that's another problem, is that so many Americans feel like, man, we're depleting our own military reserves, our own our supplies of things that we need for our own defenses, for a country that is not necessarily following Democrat ideals that we believe in. And so I think that's where a lot of people have trouble being in full support of our efforts there. And so how would you do things differently than Biden is right now, for example, when it relates to the corruption piece?
Well, first of all, a fact. We had no greater ally at the UN than Ukraine. They were with us on absolutely everything. I didn't even have to ask. They were standing next to us on every single issue. So know that they are very pro-American. Now, do they have corruption? Yes, but corruption is everywhere. So what do? You prevent being a part of that corruption. You don't give money. Biden should be sitting down with our allies saying, okay, what are you going to give? What are you going to give? What are you going to give? Make sure that all of NATO and our allies are doing their part. Saudi Arabia gave $400 billion to Ukraine, $400 million to Ukraine. Get all of that and let other countries do. And we should just focus on certain equipment and ammunition that they can't do. It's a joint effort. It shouldn't just be a U.S. effort. It should be a joint effort. When you do that, look at how far they've come. Ukraine lost 27% of their country. They're so passionate about getting their country and their freedom back. Now they're down to 15%. They're gaining ground. You know Russia's hit rock bottom because they're getting drones from Iran and missiles from North Korea. Russia has now raised the draft age to 65. They are losing. Gosh. Last week, they pulled people off the streets and they gave them shovels to fight with. They know they're losing this. There is a reason President Xi showed up. President Xi needs Ukraine to win because a win for Ukraine is a win for China. And so he knows that if Ukraine wins, he can move into Taiwan. But believe dictators when they tell you. China said they were going to get Hong Kong. They did it. Russia said they were going into Ukraine. We've watched it. China said Taiwan's next. We better believe them. Russia said Poland and the Baltics, that's their next target. That is what will happen. And then we think we're depleting resources now. Wait till you have a world war. Wait till all that is suddenly a NATO country and we have to fight. Yeah. So what went wrong with Biden is Biden should have taken care of this when Russia was putting all of those troops around Ukraine. He should have gotten with our allies then and stopped it before it ever started. Obama should have dealt with this when they first went into Crimea. And let's not forget, all of this happened because of that debacle in Afghanistan. My husband deployed to Afghanistan. The idea that we left Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night without telling our allies who stood shoulder to shoulder with us for decades because we asked them to be there. Think about what that told our friends. More importantly, think about what that told our enemies.
Yeah.
So this has been weakness from Biden the whole time. And, you know, you take, for example, Russia turns around, shoots down one of our U.S. drones last week. What has Biden done? Nothing. What should we have done? You put two more drones back up there and you send a fighter jet. You put your naval fleet back in the Black Sea because we never should have left it. Deterrence stops wars. You strengthen your military and the equipment that we have because strong militaries don't start wars. Strong militaries prevent wars. This is all about preventing war. And deterrent.
So it's not just poking the bear to do something like that?
No, because what happens is when you go and you have, there's a reason no one did anything when Trump was in office. It was all deterrence. Mm-hmm. You actually prevent war when you're strong. You start wars when you're weak. They smell blood in the water because the U.S. isn't defending anything. We didn't at least come out the right way in Afghanistan. My husband will tell you, it's no problem that we got out of Afghanistan. It's how they did it. You know, and it's how you do things. And I saw at the UN, you know, when we say the world, when we speak, the world listens. When we act, the world follows. Who we are, the world wants to be when we are strong. When we are weak, they have no choice but to go to other areas. And China is the puppet master right now.
Yeah.
And Russia is doing China's dirty work. And we can't let that get a pass.
I think that notion also applies to the border. You know, you show strength and you say people are going to do exactly what you want them to do. It's like you teach people how to treat you. And I think that applies to the border. That's why so many people are just pouring over the border, is because this administration has basically said, come on over. And they're coming on over. I mean,
it's a green flag. You know, mm-hmm. it's basically saying, and, you know, when the Mexican president says, look, you have your own problems, you go to him and say, look, either you deal with the cartels or we're going to deal with the cartels. But one of us is dealing with it.
Exactly.
And you will see how they will go. And you go and you remind them the trade that we do with them. And you remind them that they have an obligation. But more than that, look at the situation on the border and understand 4.5 million people have crossed. They haven't been vetted. 16 terrorists that we know of were caught last month.
Insane.
What about the ones we didn't? Iran is saying right now the easiest way to get into America is through the southern border.
Right.
Are we waiting for another 9/11 to happen?
Yeah.
So what's the solution of it? The solution is, yes, you do need a wall. You do need to close that border. Secondly, go back to remain in Mexico. None of those illegal immigrants want to sit in Mexico. Stop catch and release, but do what I did in South Carolina and pass a mandatory E-Verify program that says no businesses can hire anyone in this country illegally. That's how we got them out of South Carolina. That's how you'll get them out of the country. And we need to go back to understanding that if they know they can't get a job, if they know they don't get a pass, they will not come.
Yeah, it's the true deterrent. Yeah. So here's the deal. The Fed keeps raising rates because it's the only tool that they have to keep inflation under control. And it's not working.
It's not working.
Because you can't,
it's not working.
You can't spend your way out of inflation. Did you know that?
I did know that. Mm-hmm. And it's just really sucking for me right now as a potential home buyer, mm-hmm. having to do a new mortgage with the rates going up and up and up.
Yeah.
But one thing that people can do is think about diversifying their financial portfolio so that they're not putting all their eggs in just one basket and thinking about maybe expanding their portfolios into some precious metals like gold. And if that's something that you've thought about, but you've not been quite sure what it's all about, why it might be a good idea, you should check out our friends at Birch Gold. They will send you a free information kit that has all the information you could ever hope to know about why it might be an important tool for your investment kit. You can just text the word chicks to 989898 for your free info kit on gold and to claim eligibility for, get this, a free home safe. So you definitely want to contact them. Text the word chicks to 989898 before the 31st of March, because this is a limited time offer with the free home safe. Again, text chicks to 989898.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was going to ask a personal question. Can I do that real quick? Just
of course.
Okay. I was going to ask how your family, you know, how do you prepare your family for a presidential run and like how they're doing? Because I know as a mom, it's got to be tough to do this and to deal with all the mudslinging, get your husband and your kids on board and ready for like the ick that is politics. And I was just curious how you do that, how you navigate through all that.
You know, even when I was governor and ambassador, I always would tell my team, and I believe myself, that if I was a good mom and a good wife, I'd be a good governor. If I was a good mom and a good wife, I'd be a good ambassador. If I'm a good mom and a good wife, I'll be a great presidential candidate. And so, you know, that I'm a very decisive person. You know, I saw what was happening in our country, and I'm a problem solver, and I wanted to go fix it. But the one thing, you can't do this if you don't have the support of your family.
Yeah.
I mean, at any time, I remember when the kids were growing up, like if I forgot to send a snack to school, it stayed on me all day. If I forgot to sign a permission slip, those things really do affect you. And so I really control the situation. You know, like I talk with my kids, my daughter's getting married in a few weeks. And so we're doing wedding planning.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so we were on a call this morning at 7:00. I've got her on my calendar at 3:00 this afternoon to go over some more stuff. You know, you just make sure that they don't feel it. That's the number one goal. I don't want them to ever see me as anything other than a mom and a wife. And, you know, and I enjoy that. That's my favorite part, is to be a mom and a wife. So, you know, it's always family first for me. And then if I can do that, there's nothing I can't do otherwise.
I love
so the
that.
Kids are great. Michael's great. I mean, you know, and a lot of why I'm doing this is because of them. You know, my parents came here 50 years ago to a strong and proud America that was full of opportunities. They're now in their 80s. We take care of them. They live with us. I want to prove to them that they made a good decision. You know, my husband is in the military. I want him and his military brothers and sisters to know that their sacrifices meant something, that we love this country and our freedoms matter. You know, my daughter, she's getting married, and I see how hard it is for her and her fiance to buy a home. Mm-hmm. And my son is in college, and I see him writing papers he doesn't believe in to get an A.
Yeah.
You know, and for the first time in American history, 50% of Americans don't think that their kids will have as good of a life as they did. That's not okay. We can't be okay with that.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's for my family that I'm doing this. It's for everybody's family that I'm doing this, because we all deserve better. We don't deserve living the way we're living right now.
Amen. Well, especially people are struggling for sure. And so one of the big issues on everybody's mind during any election, I think, is just the economy in general. So tell our audience what you would do, not necessarily day one. I know that's like a favorite thing on day one. This is what I'm going to do as president. But if you become president, what is some of the, how would you immediately undo some of the damage, most all of the damage that Biden has actually caused the economy? They never take the blame for it, but clearly his policies are to blame for so much of the suffering that people are going through right now. How would you, what would be your mode of attack for fixing those problems? It's
so
a lot.
First of all, I'm going to speak some hard truths, because that's what I've always done. We are $31 trillion in debt.
Yep.
We are borrowing money just to make our interest payments. Through all of that, it's easy to blame Biden. Republicans did this to us too. There are no saints in Washington, D.C. It was, look at what that COVID stimulus bill that passed with no accountability, $2.2 trillion, passed the House 419-6, passed the Senate 96-0. Republicans and Democrats did that. Look at the last administration and all the spending that happened. They expanded welfare with that. Now we have 90 million people on Medicaid in this country, 42 million people on food stamps. And so how do Republicans respond to it? Get ready. They open back up earmarks for the first time in 10 years. In December, they pushed through 7,000 earmarks.
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking spending like $7.5 million on horse racing in Arizona, $12 million on a baseball stadium in New York, $15 million for New Jersey to get the World Cup. All this while one in six Americans can't make their utility payments.
Yeah.
60% of Americans are in credit card debt. We need to look in the mirror and realize Republicans are just as much to blame as Democrats. So now, how do we fix it? First thing is claw back the $500 billion of unspent COVID money that's still out there. Instead of having IRS agents go after middle America, go after the hundreds of billions of dollars in COVID fraud that we know exist. Make sure we stop the spending. I will veto any bill, any spending bill that doesn't take us back to pre-COVID levels. No more earmarks for anyone. If we know 15% of our budget is interest, quit borrowing. Cut up the credit cards. We don't do it in our homes. We don't do it in our businesses. Why is Congress exempt from that?
Exactly.
And make sure that we go after the entitlement reform that I talked about. That's how you'll start to pay down debt. If we don't do this, our kids will never forgive us for this. Mm-hmm, and that means we have to speak hard truths to Republicans and to Democrats.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're really going to get to the solution. And, you know, we can do this. But it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take hard truths to get it done. And I'm not afraid to. I did that in South Carolina. I had a Republican House and a Republican Senate, and I beat them over the head about spending and reminded them it was taxpayer money. It wasn't their money.
Right. Yeah. That's easy to forget for people in Congress.
And it's why we need term limits. I mean, term limits.
Oh my gosh.
All you got to do is look at Washington, D.C. and say, okay, I think we need term limits.
That would be the greatest.
Mental competency tests for people over the age of 75. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying that because, you know, across the board, these are people making decisions on our national security. These are people making decisions on our economic stability. you know, I don't care if you do it for 50 and older, but don't you want people at the top of their game? Yeah. Don't you want people ready to fight for us? That's what we need.
Yeah. And a lot of those people have been there for so long, and it's just, oh, it's really ridiculous. It's like, it was never meant to be that way. That, and a lot, we know this. We know.
Look at Feinstein, look at Pelosi, look at McConnell, look at Biden, look at all of these. Like, it's too much.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Time for a new generation. We've got new problems. We need a new generation. We've got to change with the times. It's time. It's time for the baby boomers to move on out.
Yeah. So we got a testimonial from Ellen about Cozy Earth loungewear. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
I received Cozy Earth loungewear as a holiday gift, and I have no doubt I will be taking them off only when they need to be washed. The material and fit are heavenly, cozy enough to wear at home, elegant enough to wear into the world. I agree with that because this stuff is the bomb.
And you do feel kind of fancy when you wear it.
You're
right?
Very fancy when you wear them.
Because it's not just like your typical t-shirt and sweats. Mm-hmm.
I'd wear it out into the world here in my small town. I'd wear it like, seriously, I'd put on some slippers, wear it out to my local Dollar General, and people would be like, who are you?
Why are you so dressed up?
Are you somebody from the royal family? Who are you? This is what would happen.
And then would you be like, but I love my family.
I love my family. I love my brother. I love my family. People would honestly think I was somebody who was royalty if I wore those.
Well, it is fancy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it makes a great gift if you are shopping for someone and you want to do something really luxurious for them, right? Mm-hmm. This is luxurious, fabulous, super high quality, the finest premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo. That's what they use to make their incredible loungewear.
Feels amazing.
It temperature regulates.
Feels amazing on your skin.
So soft on your skin. Mm-hmm. It is heavenly. And right now you can save up to 35% off when you go to cozyearth.com/chicks. Just make sure to enter the word chicks at checkout and you can save up to 35% off. That's cozyearth.com/chicks.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello. Thank you for listening to Chicks on the Right. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I would like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
So what happens next if for some reason this whole president thing doesn't work out? What would you still be willing to serve? I know a lot of people have been speculating, well, you know, if she's not president, maybe she'll be vice president. Maybe she'll be on somebody else's ticket. Maybe she'll be a cabinet member. Is that something that you've thought about, or is it president or nothing?
First of all, I don't play for second. I never play for second. Secondly, I will tell you, in my first race, I ran against the longest serving legislator in a primary. He had been in 30 years. And I went, and people laughed at me. I went around that district and said, we've got way too many lawyers in the state house. They need a really good accountant. And the people of that district took a chance on me, and I won. When I ran for governor, I ran against an attorney general, a lieutenant governor, a very popular congressman, and a state senator. I was Nikki Hu. I was at 3% in the polls. I had the least money of anybody, and I worked that state harder than anybody else, and I won. When I went to the United Nations, they said I didn't have enough experience, and I got to work and took the kick me sign off of the U.S.'s back at the United Nations. When I do this, fact, the polls you see today are not going to be the polls you see in a year from now. I have been to Iowa twice for 2 weeks at a time. We've had hundreds of people at our town halls. I've been to New Hampshire once. We're going again at the end of the month. No one else is working Iowa and New Hampshire like I am. No one will outwork me. No one will outsmart me. We will do this the old traditional way, which is getting in front of as many people as we need to, touching as many hands as we can. In South Carolina, I'm still the most popular person there in South Carolina. We'll work hard in Iowa. We'll work hard in New Hampshire. And if South Carolina sees that, then we'll have something happen. We had thousands of people at our announcement in South Carolina wanting us to move forward. And so, you know, people can say what they want to say now. And my answer is going to be watch me. Watch.
Yeah. I hope that you get the opportunity to talk to people like you talk to us, because you're awesome. You know,
I'm doing it every day, and our numbers are growing. We are building teams in every state. We are, you know, raising money, not just at the grassroots level, but at other levels. And I would tell you, don't hedge against me, because at the end of the day, I know what it takes to win, and winners do what losers don't want to. And mm-hmm. I've lived by that and will continue to live by that. But not only that, I love this country. I love this country. I know how to fix it. I know what needs to be done. And don't let the media tell you who you should like in this race. Don't let the media define who they think are going to be the top tier candidates. That happened to me in all of my races, and we defied it. So the first debate is in August. I can't wait.
and we can't either. I'm excited. It'll be super fun. Yeah. It's going to be great to watch.
Iowa's less than a year from now. New Hampshire's less than a year from now. South Carolina is a year from now. So this is about to pick up speed. By summer, it'll be fast and furious. And so, you know, I am going with this 100%. I fully intend to win.
Yeah.
We should Godspeed to you for that. Just a real quick personal note. I am moving to Beaufort next, not this fall, but next fall. So very, very excited to finally be a resident of South Carolina. But are you guys going to give me a new resident tax? Is that happening?
So first of all, I've got to court you because you're going to be a voter.
I am.
And secondly, you are about to move to the best state in the country. You know, when I was there, it was named the most patriotic state in the country. Or when I was governor, it was most patriotic state in the country, the nicest state in the country. And it was the number two state in the country people were moving to when I left. I think it's now number three. It is a great state, great quality of life. That is one of the most beautiful spots in all of South Carolina.
And can't wait.
You're going to love it. And yes, we have a good quality of life there. And so your dollar is going to go a whole lot further in South Carolina. I promise.
I'll be visiting. I'll be visiting a lot.
Yes, you will.
I just can't take, I can't take the Gators.
I'll see you along the way. Yes. I'm in the Charleston area. So
I can't take the Gators, Nikki. I can't. I'm a Texas girl through and through.
There's a respect you have for them. They're going to be right on your golf courses. They're going to be kind of on the street sometimes. One showed up at our front door like a year and a half
right
ago.
We do rattlesnakes where I'm from, not gators. Right.
Nikki Haley, such a treat to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We, of course, appreciate it. We know you're very, 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 very
yes,
busy.
Thank
and you. And we wish you all the best success in your campaign.
It is always so much fun. I hope all of your listeners will go to NikkiHaley.com, join this movement, join us. You will look like a star at the end of it. It's going to be a great ride.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank
we
you
appreciate it.
God bless you.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, where I was a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. Why the need to remake country music and into what? From there, I looked at art. Art under the guise of totalitarian regimes is so interesting because it seems that Beyonce is doing exactly what totalitarian regimes want done with art. Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.